This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا وإمامنا وحبيبنا أبي القاسم محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه والتابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. I praise Allah Almighty and I send prayers and blessings upon Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, his noble family, righteous companions, and all those that follow them with right guidance until the day of judgment. Ameen. Glory be to you, O Allah. No knowledge have we except that which you have taught us. Indeed, you are the all-knowing, the all-wise. My dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today we continue with the tafsir of Surah Al-Baqarah. And last time we talked about the ayah talking about the mithaq, the covenant between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Jews. And that part, thank you brother, barakallahu fik. In that part, it mentioned some of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded of Bani Israel. لا تعبدون إلا الله, right? وبالوالدين إحسانا, and all of these different commands that we discussed last time. But now he continues with a part of the pledge of some of the things that he prohibited upon them. So he says, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِيثَاقَكُمْ لَا تَسْفِكُونَ دِمَاءَكُمْ وَلَا تُخْرِجُونَ أَنفُسَكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ ثُمَّ أَقْرَرْتُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَشْهَدُونَ ثُمَّ أَنْتُمْ هَؤُلَاءِ تَقْتُلُونَ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَتُخْرِجُونَ فَرِيقًا مِنْكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ تَظَاهَرُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِالْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ وَإِنْ يَأْتُوكُمْ أُسَارَى تُفَادُوهُمْ وَهُوَ مُحَرَّمٌ عَلَيْكُمْ إِخْرَاجُهُمْ أفتؤمنون ببعض الكتاب وتكفرون ببعض فما جزاء من يفعل ذلك منكم إلا خزي في الحياة الدنيا ويوم القيامة يردون إلى أشد العذاب وما الله بغافل عما تعملون وإذ أخذنا ميثاقكم لا تسفكون دماءكم. And we have taken your covenant or the covenant from you, لا تسفكون دماءكم, that you do not shed your blood. لا تسفكون دماءكم ولا تخرجون أنفسكم من دياركم, and you do not evict yourselves from your homes. How can you shed your own blood or evict yourself from your own home? This is a very interesting expression that actually means do not shed each other's blood and do not evict each other from each other's houses. So this is a prohibition that is actually a command by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they should take care of each other and not harm each other as believers. You have to understand now, the Israelites here, Bani Israel, are the believers. And they should act like believers. So he says to them, لا تسفكون دماءكم. And here, the expression is like, لا تعبدون إلا الله. There, وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِثَاقَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ لَا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. We said, لَا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. There, yes, it's a command, but it's a command that came as a khabar, as a fact. لَا تَعْبُدُونَ. Otherwise, it would be لَا تَعْبُدُوا if it was a command or a prohibition. Don't worship anyone but Allah. If it was like that, he would have said, لَا تَعْبُدُوا. He said, لَا تَعْبُدُونَ. We said it came as a fact, And possibly the reason for that is that he is confirming that it is not even required, it is unnecessary to prohibit. It is clear, it is a done deal. Similarly here, وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِثَاقَكُمْ لَا تَسْفِكُونَ. He didn't say لَا تَسْفِكُوا. لَا تَسْفِكُونَ دِمَاءَكُمْ. It's a done deal. You cannot shed each other's blood. And you cannot evict each other and exile each other from your houses. Subhanallah, the expression in the Quran, لَا تَسْفِكُونَ دِمَاءَكُمْ. This is not talking about suicide or taking your own blood. But he called them أَنفُسَكُمْ because he's telling them that the shedding of the blood of your brother is like killing yourself. It's a very powerful way of expressing it. لَا تَسْفِكُونَ دِمَاءَكُمْ. When you shed each other's blood, it's like you're killing yourselves. You're killing yourself, your family, your relatives. You are one body. You are one ummah. Right? The believers are one ummah. It applies to them as well. And they have been prohibited in the Torah from killing each other or from doing this to each other. In other words, their political allegiance is to each other. They are brothers. The strongest of relationships is that of iman. That is based on iman. We know, subhanallah, what happened between the Sahaba when they became Muslim, when they followed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Maybe one of the companion's own brother or son or father continued on their kufr. And maybe they also regarded themselves as enemies to the religion. And they tried and tried. Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah tried forever to avoid his father in battle. He's on the other side. He did everything he could. He couldn't avoid it in the end. But this is the importance of the relationship that is based on iman. لا تسفكون دماءكم. Doesn't matter what allegiances you have. You are brothers of one another. Don't shed each other's blood. لا تسفكون دماءكم, because it is your blood. وَلَا تُخْرِجُونَ أَنفُسَكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ. It's like you're kicking your own self out of the house when you evict, kick, persecute your brothers and sisters and end up kicking them out of their houses. The whole ummah is like one body. Reminds us of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? That the Muslims are like one body, right? In what? In their compassion and sympathy and mercy towards each other. Like one body. When one part of your body complains, is in pain, the rest of the body will follow suit. This is the way it should be. And this is the way they were commanded to be as well. وَلَا تُخْرِجُونَ فَرِيقًا وَلَا تُخْرِجُونَ أَنفُسَكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ ثُمَّ أَقْرَرْتُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَشْهَدُونَ. Then you acknowledge this. So you cannot claim ignorance. You cannot plead lack of knowledge. You knew full well. You acknowledged this mithaq, this covenant. And you were a witness to it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is talking to the Yahud at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some scholars of tafsir may say this was a mithaq that was taken for their ancestors, but also for the Jews concurrent and at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we will see. And that this covenant was supposed to be fulfilled by both the older generations as well as these ones. ثُمَّ أَقْرَرْتُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَشْهَدُونَ. ثُمَّ أَنْتُمْ هَؤُلَاء. And then he confirms, you, ثُمَّ أَنْتُمْ, then you, هَؤُلَاء, those, He's confirming with one pronoun after another. You are the ones, the same ones that took the pledge. You are now reneging and breaking that covenant. ثُمَّ أَنْتُمْ هَؤُلَاءِ تَقْتُلُونَ أَنفُسَكُمْ. You kill yourselves, meaning you kill each other. You shed each other's blood. In other words, you did exactly the opposite of what the covenant obligated you to do. تَقْتُلُونَ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَتُخْرِجُونَ فَرِيقًا مِّنْكُمْ مِّنْ دِيَارِهِمْ تَظَاهَرُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِالْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. So, they shed each other's blood. They fought. They evicted each other. What kind of an ummah is this? What kind of brotherhood is this? Is this what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked you to do? Muhammad ibn Ishaq narrates with a chain of narration on the authority of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, who explained this ayah and exactly what's happening in it. And from it you will find all of the mufassireen mentioning this narration or this explanation. So he said that you are cooperating with another party and cooperating and helping them, helping those people, Ahlu Shirk. They are the people of Shirk. You are cooperating with them against the people of Iman, against your own brothers. So he says the Yahud, the Jews, at the time were divided into three different groups: Banu Qaynuqa, Banu Nadir, and Banu Qurayza. Banu Qaynuqa are the allies of Al-Khazraj, of the Ansar. So this is in Medina. Banu Qaynuqa are the allies of Al-Khazraj. Okay, the Ansar, Al-Aws wal-Khazraj, are from the Ansar. Banu Qaynuqa are with Al-Khazraj. And Banu Nadir and Banu Qurayza are with Al-Aws. This is what Ibn Abbas narrates, and Muhammad ibn Ishaq confirms it also in his seerah. However, you might find, if you read in the books of tafsir, some different combinations. Okay? So, Ibn Kathir seems to place Banu Nadir with Banu Qaynuqa, meaning Banu Nadir being the allies of the Khazraj and not the allies of Al-Aws. Even though you will find many quoting Ibn Kathir, the same as the narration of Ibn Abbas, but they didn't realize that actually Ibn Kathir was narrating the narration of Ibn Abbas. But when he mentions in the beginning, he puts Bani al-Nadir with Banu Qaynuqa with Al-Khazraj. Other Mufassireen switched it, placed Banu Qaynuqa with Al-Aws and Banu Qurayza with Al-Khazraj. So it can get a little bit confusing. But let's depend on the narration of Ibn Abbas. Banu Qaynuqa is with Al-Khazraj, and Banu Nadir and Banu Qurayza are with Al-Aws. Okay? So he said, because of that alliance, former alliances, before the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before Al-Aws wal Khazraj became Muslim, because of those alliances, sometimes there would be battles and wars between Al-Aws wal Khazraj of the Ansar. At that time they weren't Al-Ansar, they didn't become Al-Ansar yet. So the Jews would follow the political allegiance of the person they're allied to. They would fight alongside that group, their own brothers and sisters. The Jews, just being from another group, why does it matter? So they did not fulfill the covenant. They went against the covenant. So this is how they fought each other and they shed each other's blood because of their formal alliances with Al-Aws wal-Khazraj. Even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had told him clearly, all of this is still the narration of Ibn Abbas. Even though Allah told him clearly in the Torah that this is prohibited for you. And then, after that, you ransom the captives. So after you were a reason in your own brothers and sisters being killed or being imprisoned and becoming captives, now you are trying to ransom them. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded them also in the Torah. Ibn Abbas says, and Al-Aws wal-Khazraj were people of shirk. They didn't know paradise or hellfire. They didn't know resurrection or the day of judgment. They didn't know anything about a book or halal or haram. Nothing. They were Ahlul Shirk. The Israelites were the believers. They were the ones now who should be like one ummah together against anyone else. But they allowed those former alliances to dictate the way they acted against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded or prohibited them in the Torah. So, ثُمَّ أَنْتُمْ هَؤُلَاءِ تَقْتُلُونَ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَتُخْرِجُونَ فَرِيقًا مِّنْكُمْ مِّنْ دِيَارِهِمْ تَظَاهَرُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ. Now, تَظَاهَرُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِالْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. You are cooperating against them with your allies, بِالْإِثْمِ, in sin, وَالْعُدْوَانِ, and aggression. إِثْم, because it is an evil sin to do what you are doing to your own against everything they were commanded in the Torah, and it is the ultimate udwan, it is aggression against your brothers and sisters. So wars would happen and they wouldn't have any problem killing their own brothers and sisters because of their alliance with Al-Khazraj or because of their alliance with Al-Aws. And eventually, after the battle is over and things calm down and there are captives and prisoners of war, now they want to ransom their captives. Are you quite all right? You were the reason in the first place for this happening, and now you want to ransom them? So they are implementing that part of the covenant. They are supposed to ransom their captives. Ransoming their captives is something very important in their religion. That's why the famous scholar Rambam, Musa ibn Maymun, the much lionized and celebrated Maimonides, the great Andalusian Jewish scholar of theirs. Until now, they praise him. He said, ransoming captives is more important and supersedes even giving charity to the poor. Something very important. So you can imagine, they participated in the battle, they slaughtered their own Jewish brothers and sisters, and later on when they were captives of war, they would ransom them, they would pay money in order to try to free them. Contradiction upon contradiction. Al-Imam Ibn Abi Hatim, the famous Mufassir, and interestingly, Ibn Kathir also mentions this narration, says that some of the Tabi'een were with Salman ibn Rabi'a al-Bahili, in the conquest of Belanjar or Belanjar. Where is Belanjar? All the way in the east. And this was during the wars between the Muslim Arabs and the Khazar. So you're talking about the area close to Russia, Afghanistan and Kazakhstan, in that area. Okay, Central Asia, close to the east, like very much to the east. When or during the conquest of Belanjar, Abdullah ibn Salam, the famous Jewish rabbi, come Muslim, who became one of the great scholars of Islam, was with them. And during that conquest, there were they took some of the slave women, okay, as was the case in many of the battles during those days. So he bought one of the Jewish women as a slave for 700 dirhams. Then he went to what is called Ra's al-Jalut. Have you heard of Ra's al-Jalut? Anyone heard of Ra's al-Jalut? Ra's al-Jalut is essentially the Jewish community leader of these Jews in exile. Okay? So he went to him and he said to him, "Are you interested in ransoming this slave girl that I bought?" He said, "Yes." So he tells him, "I bought her for 700 dirhams. So he says to him, "I will give you a profit of 700 dirhams, meaning I'll buy her for 1400. So Abdullah ibn Salam says, "I took an oath that I would not sell her for less than 4,000 dirhams." So the community leader says, "No, I'm not interested." So he tells him, "Come here." So he whispers in his ear some of the verses of the Torah that talk about the importance of ransoming the captives. You have to ransom your captives, right? She's a Jewish captive. So he looks at him and he says, "Are you Abdullah ibn Salam?" He says, "Yes." They knew. He knew someone from the Muslims who is this knowledgeable of the Torah. This is Abdullah ibn Salam. They heard of it. He said, "You're Abdullah ibn Salam." He said, "Yes." So he came with 4,000 dirhams to buy her. So Abdullah ibn Salam took 2,000 and he gave him the rest. And frankly, in all my reading, I've only seen this a few times, and it's usually only by Muslims, that can, in such a situation where there is a financial transaction, and they get a higher price, and then they actually give back in this way. Subhanallah. It's something else. So he gave him back 2,000. The point of the narration is the importance of ransoming captives for them. And we see this until today. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them, you kill them, you evict them from their homes, from their towns, from their countries. And then, وَإِن يَأْتُوكُمْ أُسَارَى تُفَادُوهُمْ, then when they come as captives, then you ransom them. وَهُوَ مُحَرَّمٌ عَلَيْكُمْ إِخْرَاجُهُمْ, and it is prohibited for you to evict them in the first place. So, what are you doing? It makes no sense in the first place. It's illogical, okay? But worse than that, it is a major sin and a reneging of your promise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a breaking of the covenant with Him. وَإِن يَأْتُوكُمْ أُسَارَى تُفَادُوهُمْ وَهُوَ مُحَرَّمٌ عَلَيْكُمْ إِخْرَاجُهُمْ. Sayyid Qutb, rahimahullah, says something interesting. Because he's trying to analyze why it is that they had these different allegiances in the first place. We might have thought that it's simply a different affinity, right? Banu Qaynuqa had an affinity for Al-Khazraj. Maybe they had closer relationships. Maybe they had commercial ties. God knows, right? On the other hand, Banu Nadir and Banu Qurayza had relationships with Al-Aws. Sayyid Qutb says, actually, this is traditional Israel all the way. Always wanting, as Arabs say, to hold the stick from the middle part. Meaning, they are trying to maximize their gains and their benefits. So, if the, you know, one party is going to win and the other party is going to be defeated, at least if that happens, then if we lose, if we are on the losing side, some of our brothers are on the winning side. So maximizing your gains, okay? Trying to benefit as much as possible in one way or another. In fact, it seems very much to be a Machiavellian methodology, okay? Because we said they know that this is a major sin, what they have just committed. They're killing their own brothers and sisters. For what? For maslaha, for a gain, for some kind of a worldly benefit. So for that reason, it's almost like they split themselves amongst these different allegiances. And he says, Sayyid Qutb continues, and he says, and they do that without any respect or any consideration for any covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because there is no trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but rather all their reliance is on these worldly covenants. The worldly agreements, the worldly covenants, their street smarts, rather than depending or trusting in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have more trust in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rather than the Lord of all creation. Otherwise, they wouldn't have done that and they would have stuck to each other. Even if their former alliances dictated that they would be with the Aws or with the Khazraj, Allah told them, you cannot kill each other or evict each other from your homes. And subhanAllah, we might try to see that happening now as well. So in many situations you will find that they are on one side, or you think they are on one side, but then you might find a group of them that is supporting the other as well. In some cases, I believe it was Al-Masiri who even pointed this out, they might actually create a fraudulent opposition to themselves to appear as if they are actually not in line with each other. Again, going on both sides. In fact, brothers and sisters, if you analyze many events, even in our current affairs, you will many times find the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supporting or rather analyzing the situation, sometimes supporting this group if they see that this group is about to be victorious, and then if it seems that this group is about to be victorious, they start to shift their support to the other group. This is what the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do. There are no principles here. And what may be even more sinister is that the enemies of Allah may support this group and then also support this group. For what? So that they can annihilate each other and slaughter each other. This is well known in geopolitical and geostrategic parlance, they have done this over and over, and I can give you some actual events and situations where they have done this. This is what the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do. وَإِنْ يَأْتُوكُمْ أُسَارَى تُفَادُوهُمْ وَهُوَ مُحَرَّمٌ عَلَيْكُمْ إِخْرَاجُهُمْ أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ. Subhanallah. The ayah from beginning to end is also a reminder to us as Muslims. When you think about everything they've been commanded and prohibited here, this covenant not to kill each other, not to evict each other from each other's houses, does that not apply to Muslims? Al-Imam Al-Qurtubi says, Wallahi, Wallahi, we have done everything in this ayah and more. Allah al-Musta'an. We as Muslims have committed all of this. We have killed each other, we have fought each other, we have evicted each other, turned people away from their houses, deported them from this country or that, taken them to this country or that. We have done all of this. And then he says, and I wish that was by supporting one Muslim group against another. He says, no. But rather we sided with our enemies and with the disbelievers against our believing brothers and sisters. And unfortunately, Islamic history is testament to this. And we have seen it time and time again, where the Muslims will actually seek the assistance of their enemies, though they might not seem like enemies, but they will seek their assistance against their own, because of their own problems, because they can't get along. Subhanak ya Rabb. In some cases, he will seek his enemy's assistance against his own blood brother, not even a Muslim brother, a blood brother as well. Subhanallah.
When it was that? In which period?
It happened very long back. It happened also during the time of the Crusades. And you might say that it continues to happen until now, because we are in such a state of weakness. Muslims killing each other, shedding each other's blood, because of this alliance or that. Because this Muslim country is allied with this group, and this Muslim country is allied with this. We saw it. You know, we can mention so many things. But then that will be a different conversation. Where is the fact that the Muslim Ummah is one body? That you do not fight your brothers and sisters. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً. This ayah is manifesting the importance of the brotherhood of Iman. In this case, the case of the Jews. And when we do that, then we are very much imitating the Jews. وَإِنْ يَأْتُوكُمْ أُسَارَى تُفَادُوهُمْ. At least they're ransoming their captives. What Muslims are ransoming their captives? Muslims are rotting in prisons. Do you see any Muslim countries running after them? The Jews are ransoming their captives. But the Muslims are playing around. They don't know, or they don't want to know. Or maybe they themselves are imprisoning their own Muslims and torturing them, wal'iyadu billah. Where is Islam? Where is brotherhood? At least follow the Jews in that. Ransom the captives. وَإِنْ يَأْتُوكُمْ أُسَارَى تُفَادُوهُمْ وَهُوَ مُحَرَّمٌ عَلَيْكُمْ إِخْرَاجُهُمْ أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ. Do you believe in part of the book and then you disbelieve in the other? This is what seems to be happening. Did Allah Azza wa Jal just tell you, ransom your captives? Or did he tell you, don't kill each other, don't be a cause in people having to be captives or thrown out of their houses and going God knows where? He prohibited this, and he commanded you to ransom captives. But now you are the reason for those captives in the first place, and then you are ransoming them. So what good is this? And we see this in today's politics as well. So we may see a situation that seems to be something stellar. MashaAllah, look at what this group did or what that country did. And they ransomed this captive or that, and they were the reason in the first place for these people to be deported or to be captives or to be in such a situation. A lot of things we need to look at and understand from this ayah. أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضَ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ. It's almost like they believe in this part and they disbelieve in the other. It's almost like they do not believe that Allah prohibited them to kill each other or to be a cause of eviction or exiling from their countries or their towns. So, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ. And this is another ailment, subhanAllah, that we see in this ummah as well. From a lot of deviant sects, personalities, where they want to take part of Islam, part of the Quran. But this part, no. Can you imagine someone actually saying something to the effect of, we will take everything in the Mecca part of the Quran, the part that was revealed in Mecca, not the part that was revealed in Medina. What kind of a game are you playing? أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ. You see this? I like some things in Islam, but other things, no. It's not a game. Nor is it a buffet. Islam is not a buffet. The Quran is not a buffet. You just choose what you like of it. So he says to them, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ. He's chastising them. أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ. فَمَا جَزَاءُ مَنْ يَفْعَلُ ذَلِكَ مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا خِزْيٌ إِلَّا خِزْيٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. The recompense of those who do that is nothing but khizi, disgrace in this worldly life. Indeed, Al-Imam Al-Qurtubi, when he commented on this, he said, we are doing this and more, and then we are leaving our Muslim brothers and sisters disgraced, almost as if they are kuffar. Allah Azza wa Jal says, those who do this, their recompense will be khizi in this dunya. Some scholars may say, indeed, we saw that happen even with Qaynuqa, Al-Nadir and Qurayza. So we know that Banu Qurayza ended up being killed. And we know Banu Nadir ended up being exiled, right? As in Surah Al-Hashr, if we ever get to the tafsir of that surah. So, this is khizi fil hayat al-dunya. This is being disgraced in this hayat al-dunya. وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يُرَدُّونَ إِلَىٰ أَشَدِّ الْعَذَابِ. On the day of judgment, then they will be returned to the most severe of punishment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Indeed, the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, is on different levels. And thus, يُرَدُّونَ إِلَىٰ أَشَدِّ الْعَذَابِ. We know some punishment is lighter than others. Some punishment is more severe than others. Who is the person who is lightest in punishment? As in the authentic hadith, Abu Talib, the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ, right? Why? Because it seems that his defense of his nephew, though he died as a kafir, that this is something that may lighten his punishment on the day of judgment. وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يُرَدُّونَ إِلَىٰ أَشَدِّ الْعَذَابِ. And The Quran says the same about Fir'aun. Because they're playing around. We saw before how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rebuked Bani Israel because they're playing around with the deen. The deen is like a game to them. So he says here to them as well, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ. You're so, you don't even have enough iman that your former alliances dictate to you what you can and cannot do, and you're ready to slaughter your own brothers and sisters over it. وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not unaware of what you do. Don't think that when you do all of this, when you play around with the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you pick and choose from what you think is a buffet, when you implement parts of the deen or you disbelieve in others, don't think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unaware. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of all that you do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all hearing and all seeing, and He's the omniscient, He's all knowing. وَاللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. وَاللَّهُ تَعَالَى أَعْلَمْ. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us knowledge. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase our faith. Help us to implement that which we understand, and give us a better understanding of the Qur'an. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to unite this ummah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help this ummah to come together, to be like one body and one heart, and not completely divided as we see it today. Wallahu musta'an. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa mubarak ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Any questions or comments? Have you heard some text that says something to the effect of that Muslims killing each other is tantamount to kufr? Have you seen or read something like that? Barakallah feek. Yes, in his farewell sermon, the Prophet ﷺ said, "La tarji'u ba'di kuffaran, yadribu ba'dukum riqaba ba'd." That do not after my demise, this is part of his farewell speech, do not become kuffar, hitting each, you know, striking each other's necks. So, killing each other this way, it's either this is the action of the kuffar, or that this is an act that can be described as kufr. Kufr in terms of action, not that it is necessarily something that will take you out of the fold of Islam. But this is how serious it is. And this is why in the authentic hadith, the Prophet ﷺ says, سِبَابُ الْمُسْلِمِ فُسُوقٌ وَقِتَالُهُ كُفْرٌ. So he says, insulting the Muslim is fisq, it's fusuq. Okay? But قِتَالُهُ, fighting against him, this is kufr. Very serious offense. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ said that the Muslim is doing well as long as he has not shed haram blood. It's a very, very serious thing. But subhanallah, Muslim blood is so cheap. Whether it's for the Muslims or the kuffar. Yes, brother. Yes, but that Right, right. But there, the hadith is, or the way it is interpreted is, if there is no, let's say, acceptable or justifiable ta'wil. Because otherwise we know. Unfortunately, even the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum, fought each other. We know the fitna that happened then. Mind you, when that happened, the reason for that was mainly the munafiqeen, the hypocrites. Otherwise, whether it is in Ma'rakat al-Jamal or Saffin, at the time of Uthman or at the time of Ali radiallahu anil jami', the Muslims were doing their best to reconcile their differences and almost did. But then the munafiqeen said, no, we are not going to allow this reconciliation to happen. SubhanAllah. Yes, brother. Yes. Yes, barakallahu feek. There are many ahadith that talk about the importance of Muslims respecting each other, respecting obviously their wealth and their blood and every and their honor, everything. Al-Muslim akhul Muslim, right? لا يخذلوا ولا يظلموا ولا يحقروا. There are different narrations of this hadith as well. So absolutely, this is the way Muslims are supposed to be with one another. When a Muslim says to the other Muslim, "Assalamu alaikum," peace be upon you, that's exactly what is meant. Al-Muslimu man salima al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi. A true Muslim is the one whom other Muslims are protected from any kind of verbal or physical offense from him. Allah al-Musta'an. Anything else? اللهم ألف بين قلوبنا وأصلح ذات بيننا واهدنا سبل السلام جزاكم الله خيرا سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك